Let us pray. God of tenderness, we are nothing without your love, and there is nothing without your love. Amen. Good morning. It is so good to be with you this morning. And two things to know about me before we dive into the text this morning. First, my name is Kelsey. And Lent is my favorite season in our liturgical calendar. I'm learning that there are Advent people and there are Lenten people. And I definitely reside on this side of things. My heart was won over a few years ago during Holy Week. It was the first time I participated in every liturgy and ritual that our tradition has to offer. And there is nothing like washing feet, walking the stations of the cross, getting up in the middle of the night to be part of a vigil, and touting rainbow streamers on Sunday morning, all within 1 week. The rituals brought such a profound sense of closeness to God and to community that after that week, I told my wife, Heather, that I wanted to make a t-shirt that says that I wish every week were Holy Week. So here we are in this Lenten season, a season that enables us to face ourselves, to see the weak places, to touch the wounds in our own soul. Wounds that are caused by illusions of dominance and competition that lead us to isolate and to abandon each other. Lent is a season of remembering that underneath all the ways that we distract ourselves, the reality is that many of us are suffering, afraid and anxious, uncertain and feeling alone. Lent is a time where we journey to the darker places, becoming a little bit more honest with ourselves in the hope that we can share that honesty in community. And this sharing of what is really going on is intended to gather us together, to bond us more deeply, making us a people of God that is authentic and loving. So I am not of the belief that Lent is about self-depreciation or riding a wave of guilt or being ashamed of our humanity. I believe it is quite the opposite. It is an intentional season of coming back to who we really are. People who say yes to community, lovers who see beauty, healers who pay attention to a wounded world, friends who collapse the boundaries of who is weak and powerful, central and marginalized, in and out. We are the advocates of a new social order that says there is plenty of good room for everyone at this table. So remembering who we are and what we are to do as a people of God is a central theme in Luke's gospel. In the gospel reading this morning, we hear Jesus' abject disappointment and absolute heartbreak at the refusal of his own people to hear and to do what God is asking them to do, to draw near, to gather, and to come back home. So hear it again. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. This repetition of Jesus' words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, is a lament over what the city has become. We cannot and we should not avoid the political reality that Luke's Jesus is naming. Understand that the word political is derived from a word that means the affairs of a city or to give shape to a city. So in light of this, Jesus is lamenting the political dynamics that are shaping Jerusalem. Dynamics that, instead of bringing about flourishing and notions of true identity, are wrought with institutional arrangements that are death-dealing for many. Responding to this, Jesus steps into the prophetic tradition of his ancestors, making it a mark of his mission to call his people to remember that they belong to God, not the empire. They are to stay together, not isolate. And they are to protect one another by sharing what they can, especially with those who are most vulnerable. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, has this to say. God's passionate dream, compassionate desire, and bold determination is to gather God's human children closer and closer to God's embrace and love. That mission and commitment is at the center of Jesus's work. And like a mother hen, God seeks to draw, embrace, include, and welcome God's children into the family of humanity that God has intended from the dawn of Eden itself. God's passionate dream is likened to a mother hen. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in the suburbs of Southern California before the urban farm movement, so there weren't a lot of mother hens clucking around my streets. So to try to grasp why, out of all the images in the world, Jesus chose a mother hen, I did the most natural thing you do. I watched hours of mother hen videos on YouTube. And here's what I learned. A mother hen and her baby chicks, in one video I saw, were scattered in an open, dusty field. They are free-ranging, clucking, and walking without a care in the world. The coop is nowhere to be seen. So they've journeyed far enough away that they're in the open, a wilderness of sorts, exposed and vulnerable. And I learned that chickens have several different clucking tones to communicate. So listening closely in this video, I heard that the mother hen's cluck goes from a light-sounding cluck to a deep, raspy call. As her voice changes, the chicks begin to run in all sorts of directions, terrified. And it's clear that there's danger impending because the mother hen starts to run around the chicks. Her cluck becomes even deeper, more raspy and bold, and she is tenacious in her pursuit of trying to gather her chicks. It is as if she's saying, "Come here, come here. Come here, let me shelter you." But the chicks don't get it. And so this goes on for a few minutes, chicks scattering, hen clucking, and everyone trying to chase each other down. But eventually, she corrals them under her wings, and it's clear that the chicks have to listen, to make the choice to turn to her. And so one by one, they gather under her feathers. And then the most extraordinary thing happens. As each chick goes under her feathers begin to expand and get bigger and bigger and bigger beyond belief. It's like that bad car commercial where the people just keep getting out of the tiny car and more room is available than you could have ever imagined. So as her feathers get wider and wider, it's clear that there is room for all her babies. Her love is expansive. The tenderness of her love is clear. She is tender, but she's also tenacious. Because once her chicks are gathered underneath her, a fox comes into the frame, and the hen and the fox stare each other down, and it's clear that this hen is a fierce mother. Because instead of running away, she squats in the middle of the open, vulnerable and willing to do what she can to protect her babies, to keep them together, and she looks the fox dead in the face, lets out one more terrifying cluck, and the fox darts from sight. You see, the avian symbol of Rome was an eagle. And as Jesus journeys towards Jerusalem, facing his impending death and the violence of an institutional system head on, Jesus does not choose the symbol of an eagle. He likens himself to a mother hen. What a tender and tenacious God we have. So, friends, hear this. We are journeying with a God who is tender and tenacious, who faces suffering head on so that we might have the courage to do the same. And like a mother hen, God wishes to gather you close through every suffering. There is room for you as you are in all of your anxieties and complexities because you are beautiful. So this Lent, as you choose to turn around, remember that you are coming back home to a God and to a community that loves you. So come back home. There is room for you here. Amen.